and our family moved to the a dairy farm. We our house had burned the year before that, and just through the whole process. And in 1976, in the fall of 1976, we moved and become farmers. It was like this was the best time of my life. You know, becoming working on a farm was the best time of my life. So that happened in 1976, in September or something like that of 1976. But always prior to that, we always had animals. I can never remember a time in my life where there was not animals in our house and in our little barn that my dad had. He had a couple acres, and before we moved to the farm, and we always had animals. We always had a dog. We always had some cats. We had rabbits at times, and rabbits are the gift that keeps giving. You know, so you got rabbits and upon rabbits upon rabbits. You know, we had all kinds of rabbits. We had pigs. We had chickens. We had ducks. We had different things on the sub farm, if you will, the hobby farmer. My dad wasn't a farmer at the time. He was doing other things in this world, but we always had farm animals. And I can remember, I think it was the Christmas of 1974, I received a gift, which is not odd to receive a gift when you're 9 years old on Christmas Day. But I can remember going to the Christmas tree in the morning, and we were always up and at them early, and to get down to the tree to see what was there under the tree for us. Well, I could see that the things were there, and some things were wrapped and some things weren't, just the way it was in our house. And when you went down, you got to see the things that weren't wrapped, and you got to see those. And well, I can remember I didn't see really anything. There was four of us, but I didn't really see anything for what I thought fit me. You know, I did get a tea set when I was five, but that's, you know, I've had counseling since then. I got over that. But, you know, I didn't see that there was baby dolls and stuff like that, and maybe something that for my brother that was older, but there was nothing. It seemed like there was nothing for me under the tree. And then all of a sudden there was an envelope, and I opened the envelope, and then they hand me the envelope. Here's your envelope, and the envelope let me get a clue in it for where you were going to go and retrieve your gift, right? So you started the journey to go towards your gift. And so that led me to another envelope, and that led me to the next envelope, and that led me so forth and so on to a series of envelopes, which led me to the back room of our house. The back room of our house was unfinished and had a coal furnace there, an old coal boiler, and a coal bin that we had to keep shoveling coal into the auger so it would keep our house warm. And I think it had like the washer and dryer down in there somewhere, and I think that had a freezer. It had an outside door that you had to step down from the house. You come into the back room, and you had to step down four or five steps to get down to the concrete level of the back room. It was back room. We're talking back room, 1974 back room. Okay, it's not 2020 back room. Okay, the unfinished, and it had an outside door where you could come in and out if you needed to on the outside door. Well, my final envelope led me to the back room, and I can remember I stepped out onto this wooden deck, and there was four or five steps down. But when I stepped out onto the wooden deck, right next to the outside door was something that instantly caught my eye. I could not believe what I was seeing. It was my Christmas gift. It was a Holstein Hereford cross calf. And I could not believe what I was seeing. There couldn't have been a better gift in the world for a 9-year-old kid who always lived in the country, always had animals around him, and wanted to be a farmer all his life, since the first words out of his mouth was farming. And I looked down there and I saw this calf, and I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. And I embraced this calf, and I named her Holly, in case you're wondering. You know, I thought that was a good Christmas name too, right? But Holly went on from there. She didn't stay in the back room. She went from there on into the barn. And on into the barn she went, and I cared for her. I had received a living gift. A gift that you just couldn't leave on the shelf, or a gift you couldn't leave in your drawer, or a gift you could play with once a week. You didn't have an option. You got a living gift, a gift that had to be cared for, a gift that had to be fed, a gift that was going to grow, a gift that was going to produce. And Holly went on from that 75-pound frame to a 1,200-pound cow. And maybe much to my dad's scratching his head, she did enter the milking herd, you know, with a white face and a black body. But this girl was going to be a part as long as I could keep her, because she was continued to grow. She had calf after calf after calf. She produced, a living gift produces something. It needs to be grown. It needs to be cared for. And I learned how to do that. And I found it interesting, too, just as an aside, that I never bought groceries. It was always supplied by my father. But it was my responsibility to grow it. She was mine. It was my gift. It wasn't his, but he always provided what was needed to grow the gift, much like you and me. We receive a gift. God gives us something, and sometimes it's something that grows. Now, the Father will always provide what is needed, but it's our responsibility to grow it, to feed it, to take care of it. You receive a living gift. You have received a living gift. God has given us a living gift. We've been down this series of what God has given us. Something that he has put into your possession for your benefit or for your use. He wants you to use it. He's given it to you. Some gifts, I think, he gives temporarily. We talked about that. Some gifts may not be living, so to speak. Maybe it's a provision. It's something to pay the electric bill with. And you go and you pay the electric bill, and it's done. Some of the gifts that he gives us, some of the things that he gives us, are living. And they need to be cared for. Because inside of that 75-pound gift is a 1,200-pound animal that reproduces calf after calf after calf and milk along with every other cow in the dairy herd. The Father provided. My Father provided the grain and the hay. My responsibility to take care of the gift. God has given you and me a living gift. And Paul is telling Timothy, you have a living gift. And I think you and I end up with the same gift that Timothy has. And he's telling, you need to care for this, Timothy. He's put into your possession for your use and for your benefit, but it needs to grow. It's only 75 pounds. There's 1,200 pounds of gift here. I'll provide everything you need, the Father says. But you need to care for it. You need to grow this gift. So let me pick it up in the second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy, verses 1 and 2. And it says this, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. I just love the word. I could preach on almost every word of this letter. But let me continue to get to the gift. This is just the opening, the first sentence of the letter. It says, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I give it to you. Boom. I thank God, he goes on to say, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears as I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And then he goes on to say this, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. He said, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, your real faith. And the word sincere is like the Greek word without wax. Because when they would make a pot, and when it would bake in the ovens, if it would get a crack in it, they would cover it with wax before they painted it. And it was fine until you added some heat to it, and then the wax would melt out, and then you had cracks in your pot. And if you had a sincere pot, it was a pot without wax, without something. Not that we don't have cracks in our lives, but we're not burying them. He said, you have a faith that's sincere. You have a faith that's without wax. You have a faith that's real. You've been given eternal life, this relationship with Jesus. And I see it in you. I saw it in your grandmother. And I saw it in your mom. And I'm seeing it in you now, Timothy. In Acts 16:1, it says, he came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. Maybe just a little aside here. If you're a one-man or one-parent show, hang in there. Just to complete out of that message and into this message, Timothy's mom was passing something on, and it doesn't seem like she had the support of her husband. But Paul says, I see you got a sincere faith. I saw that in your grandmother. I saw it in your mom. And now I'm guaranteeing you, I'm seeing it in you. I am persuaded. I have been reminded, back to verse 5, I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you. I am persuaded. I am certain that you have a real faith. Hang on, this is not the gift. That's another gift. He gave himself, God's given him salvation. And Paul said, I see that in you. There's a realness in you, Timothy. There's a realness in your, in its faith. There's something real in your life. It's not always the true when Paul was talking with the churches or people. Look what he says to the Thessalonians. For this reason, when I could not stand it any longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that you had given, you thrown in the towel. So he wasn't just a blank statement. It was sometimes there's evidence. I see it. I don't know what was causing him to say, I'm persuaded that this faith lives in you. And I was challenged this week to wonder, am I a Timothy or am I a Thessalonican? Am I one who has this faith that people are persuaded that I have this solid faith? Or am I kind of wondering if I'm leaving people wondering if I have a real faith or not? Paul says, I see a real faith. I'm persuaded that it lives in you. It was very clear. Something was very clear to Paul that Timothy had really, the 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. He was certain that Timothy was a new creation. Oh, hang on, we're going to get the calf yet. Okay, we're gonna get the 75-pound gift here pretty soon that has the potential to grow into a 1,200-pound producing gift. But he just wants to set the stage for what's going on. Because if you don't have the faith, he said, you're not going to get this gift. You got to have a solid faith or you don't receive this gift. So he's telling Timothy, the pump is primed. You have the prerequisite to receiving this gift. So he's building this argument that you can receive. You have received this gift, a living gift, because you have this relationship that's very plain to those people that look at you. You have this evidence that Jesus is real in your life. You have this new creation atmosphere around you. Look what he says in verse 6. For this reason, what reason? Because you have a living faith. I love passages that are tied together with fours and so's, because even the simplest minds can follow them. So for this reason, for what reason? The reason I just talked about, the reason that you have a living faith. For this reason, I remind to you, hang on, here it comes. Here's the 75-pound Herford Holstein cross at the end of the letters, at the end of the envelopes, on the back porch, ready to just boom your eyes. Here it is. Because you have a faith, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. That's what we're talking about today. The gift of God. What is that? He just spent this whole argument building that he had already had a solid living faith. But now all of a sudden there's something called a gift from God. A gift of God. What is that? We can, and some would argue, well, that's the Holy Spirit. I'm not against that. I think, yes, certainly. And without the Holy Spirit, you're not getting any more gift anyway, because that's the empowerment. God the Spirit comes and indwells us to empower us. So this gift that God has given us, has given everyone who has a faith in Jesus Christ, you have this gift. It's because you have a faith in Jesus Christ that you have a gift of God. Now, is it the Holy Spirit? Certainly it is. But is there more explanation to it? I'm not going to say, is there more to it? Because, frankly, the Holy Spirit's plenty. But is there more explanation to what God has given us? Does anybody else want to know? Do you want to follow the next envelope? Do we want to open it? Do we want to see what's in the back room? Because before I would read this passage of Scripture and say, yeah, okay, I get from God next, kind of next, kind of next. I'm just reading and reading and reading, and I don't really just stay and say, what is that? Well, that's your salvation. Really? He just talked about that and the verses prior to this. And then he said, for this reason, because you have this living faith, now do something with this living gift that I'm going to give you, that I have given you. And we see that it came from Timothy. Timothy's validation had come through Paul and the laying out of his hands. But according to this passage, that's not a must. God gives us this gift through maybe other means, but he's given you a living gift. Do you want to know what it is? I want to know what it is. And so because you have a sincere faith, because fan into flame, get the billows out. Paul's encouraging him to grow the gift of God. Stand secure in your salvation and fan your gift. Push the button, please. Stand secure in your salvation and fan your gift. I'm going to make that into a t-shirt. I'm just going to see how much conversation that grows. I'm standing firm in my foundation. I'm standing firm in my salvation, and I'm fanning my gift. I just wonder what that would do. I wonder what people say. Well, what in the world's up with that? Let me tell you what's up with that. The gift of God, I think, is the call of God. I think He put a call in your life. I think He put a call in my life. I think the gift of God here is the call of God, and God has put a call. Timothy, God has got a call on your life, and it's alive. It's living. And you've got to fan it into flames, Timothy. You got to fan it. You got to grow it. You got to feed it, Timothy, because the call is there. It's a living gift. It's 75 pounds now, but it has the potential of being 1,200 pounds of gift that produces. Fan it, Timothy. Fan your gift. Fan your gift. Fan you. Stand secure in your salvation and fan your gift, Timothy. Grow your gift, Timothy. God has given you salvation, and now He has given you a call. Are you with me this morning? Three of you are. Look at what it says in John. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. See, He already chose. Salvation is on board. But there's a call. There's a call in your life. There's a call on your life. There's something that God has for you. There's this call on Timothy's life. And I just want to jump ahead to verses 8 and 9 and just see what we can see what the call is. So don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, His prisoner, but join me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God who saved us and called us into a holy life. As I studied through that, I think that's the call. It's to testify about the Lord. You know what that word means? To testify, to demonstrate that God is the Lord of your life. Timothy, you're not doing that, but you can, because God's given you the ability. Fan that into flames. I want you to testify about the Lord. I want you to come alongside and let people see that God is real in your life, and God is the Lord of your life, and God is making the calls in your life, because you're going to need it. Wherever I send you, you're going to need it. So the call is this. He wants you to testify about the Lord. He wants you to share the gospel, and he wants you to lead a holy life. That's the call of God on our life. Are you with me this morning? That's the call of God on our life. You want to know what God wants you to do? He wants you to do that. He wants you to fan it into flames. He wants you to testify about the Lord. He wants you to share the gospel, and he wants you to live a holy life. Is anybody with me this morning? That's the call of God. I just removed the doubt. I just brought it out of the darkness and stood it in the light. What does God want from me? He wants you to testify about the Lord. He wants you to demonstrate that he is the Lord of your life. He wants you to share the gospel, and he wants you to live a holy life. Timothy, that's what your gift is. That's your, now, I may put you in other positions in life. I may put you in the medical profession somewhere. I push the button. I may put you as a medical personnel. I may put you as a truck driver. But you know what? As a truck driver, your call is to testify about the Lord. Your call is to share the gospel. Your call is to live a holy life. I may put you in as a stay-at-home mom, an educator, a student, a construction worker, a business owner. He said, I may put you in as a leader, Timothy. God may call you as a pastor, but you got to know that your call is to testify about the Lord. Your call is to share the gospel. Your call is to lead the holy life. So before we ask where God is putting us, maybe as a truck driver, an educator, or a Walmart employee, maybe we need to know that he's called us already. Now, he may place you in those places, and he may call you into those places, but the call that he wants you to fan into flames in your life, the call that's 75 pounds, that he can says it has a potential growing to 1,200 pounds, is that you will testify about the Lord, that you will share the gospel, that you will live a holy life. How's it going? And we're not questioning anybody's salvation. Well, you can't judge me. Certainly, I don't have room to judge myself, how let alone you. And Paul's not judging anybody here. You got something special from the Father. Don't worry. The Father will provide everything you need, but it's your responsibility to feed it. Will you feed it? Will you feed that so that gifting will grow, that gift will go? Because God has given it to you so that you can put it into your use. He wants it into your life. You mean you want me to testify about the Lord? Yes. You want me to share the gospel? Yes. You want me to live a holy life? Yes. It's yes, yes, yes. But apparently it's not at the level that it can be. How about it? But you can fan it into flames, he says. You can fan it. You can grow your gifting. You can grow this gift from God, this call of God on your life. And just let me be pretty frank. Some of us haven't grown that call, and you're frustrated. You're going to be frustrated. Because you got a call on your life that you're not fanning. And you're trying to live life the way you want to live life. And you're trying to live life the way the world's trying to tell you to live life. And you're trying to fit in with this crowd and that crowd, and you don't know what color to be at what time. And you're like a beagle that's been turned into a house dog. Beagles don't like to be house dogs. Beagles want to hunt rabbits. And I don't think the frustration is going to go away in your life until you fan your call. Now, if you want to talk about how do I fan the call, then we can talk about that. But don't question your call. Your call and my call is to testify about the Lord. Your call and my call is to be gospel sharers. Your call and my call is to live a holy life. Can I do this and still walk with God? And people ask me that all the time. Can I, you know, act like a bum and do whatever I want and do this and still walk with God? And the answer is, I don't know why you would want to. Because it's certainly not the call of God. Am I making sense? God may call you into different walks of life, but our calling inside of one of those callings is to testify about the Lord, is to share the gospel, is to lead a holy life. Verse 6 again says, for this reason, what's the reason? Because you've got a salvation. Because you got a faith in Jesus Christ. Because you got eternal life. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flames what? The gift of God, the call of God, the ability to testify about the Lord, the ability to share the gospel, the ability to live a holy life. Do you know you have the ability to live a holy life? Well, we're all humans and nobody's perfect. Thank you, Captain Obvious. You wouldn't need to fan it into flames if that wasn't true. So you stop hanging around the coal and just saying, I'm only human? Will you get the bellows out and start roaring it into a roaring inferno so that you can be holy? So you can live a holy life? Here it is. Here's another 4 in verse 7. We're going to go back to verse 7. Look what he says. Why? Because God did not give you a spirit of timidity. Wait a minute. He gave me salvation. And now he said, you're standing in your salvation. Now fan your call into full flames. And you can, because God did not give you a spirit of cowardness, a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity. Fear will push you to the ground. Perhaps the greatest hindrance to living and growing our gift is fear. And he knew that in Timothy's life. And he said, that gift that God has for you, fear is going to keep it under wraps. Because you're afraid, Timothy. You're afraid of where it will take you. You're going to be afraid of who you're going to testify about the Lord, or who you're going to share the gospel with, or how much living a holy life is going to cost you. You're afraid, Timothy. That's not from God, he says. Push the button. I am afraid of how I will have to change. I'm afraid of what will I am afraid what I will have to do. Do you see what's happening? Don't you just you got it's absolutely right. There may be changes. There may be movements. You may move across the country. You may step out into a brand new thing. And he says, you're going to testify about the Lord. You're going to share the gospel. You're going to live a holy life. I'm afraid. I know you're afraid, but that's not from God. I don't know if I can do it. That's not from God. What will I have to do? How much will it cost me? How much sacrifice will I have to make? And what will others say? And who may oppose me? Put it back. Just so you know, I wrestle with this on a regular basis. Because if I let fear grow, every one of these conversations I'll have in my own head. I don't know if I got what it takes. I don't know if I can do it, God. I don't know if I can testify about you. I don't know if I can share the gospel in this situation. I don't know if I can live holy. I don't know if I can have victory over this in my life. He said, you do an awful lot of worrying. But I didn't give you a spirit of timidity. I didn't give you a spirit of shyness. Look at the verse says, verse 7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power. A spirit of dunamis, which we get our word dynamite from. I've given you a spirit of power. Not of shyness, not of fear, not of arrogance and boldness and pride, but I give you one of power. You've got power. You've got power that you don't need. Timothy needs to fan the power of God in his life into flames so that he can live the call, which is testifying about the Lord, which is sharing the gospel, which is living a holy life inside of wherever else God has us. Or we can be a stunted, have a stunted gift. Do you know how much work it was to get Holly from 75 pounds to 1,200? Do you understand that once you put into the front end of the cow, doesn't all stay inside that cow? Do you know how much you have to carry in front of a cow and carry off in back of a cow? Do you know how many fences you have to build? Do you know how much grooming? Do you know how much care it takes? Everybody wants a puppy until you have to take care of a puppy. Everybody, you should try a cow. Okay? You don't have those little grabber scooper things for your yard. You got a front end loader. All right? Are you with me? It takes something, it takes some energy to grow your gift. And God says, I'm supplying everything you need, but it's your responsibility to grow it. I did not give you a spirit of timidity, but I give you one of power. You got the power. Fan it. And you're going to have the power, push the button please, and you're going to have the power to accomplish difficult tasks. You're going to have power that meets challenges with guts. You're going to have power to make the sacrifice, to make the change, to go where it takes you, to stand in the storm. That's the power. I don't know if I can do this. Then fan it, Timothy. Then fan it, Ed. Then fan it, David. Then fan it, Dave. Then fan it, Craig. Then fan it, Richard. Then fan it. And watch what it does. You get the power to kick in the gates of hell. I don't know if I can share the gospel with this person or not. Then you need to fan it in and kick in the gates of hell and get in there. I don't know if I have the power to overcome this situation in my life so I can live a holy life. Then you need to fan the power. I need to fan the power to complete the mission, to share the gospel, to bring life to a situation, to live a holy life. He said, I've given you a spirit of power. I've given you a spirit of, not a spirit of fear, the spirit of power and of love. I'm on the last sheet of my notes. It's not even a full sheet. How do I fan it? It's going to feel like power, love. Because power without love is detrimental to those around you. Are you with me? Aren't you glad that God loves us? Aren't you glad that God is omnipowerful, but also a loving God? Can you imagine somebody with all that power that had no love? And God says, I'm not going to just give you power. I give you a spirit of love as well. Because that's where you're going to need to temper the power to go where it needs you to go. Love that endures even in the presence of the most cantankerous people. I don't know about you, but I need that at times. And I don't know about me, but you need that at times when you're talking with me. Love that will prevail when all your buttons are being pushed. Because see, I'm ending here probably way quicker than what my mind wants to. But I think it's where God has taken us. Because, see, I'm never going to be able to live a holy life, or I'm never going to be able to share the gospel, or I'm never going to be able to testify about the Lord if there's just one button and somebody can push it and I lose it. And all of a sudden, my call has went out the window. He said, I'm going to give you love, and you're going to be able to get your buttons pushed, and you're going to be able to keep your lips shut. Because you're so amped up on love. Can you imagine? I was talking to someone today with cookies and kids with Mountain Dew chasers. You will amp a kid up in a hurry with that combination. Can you imagine what it would look like if a church was amped up on power, love, and self-discipline? Push the button, please. Self-discipline, it refers to wise head. That would be my Native American name. I would want it to be. It probably wouldn't be until I die, but wise head. That's a great name. Wisdom to see and move. That's all it is. See what he's doing? He said, Timothy, I've given you a salvation, and I want you to stand in it. And then I've given you a call, and I'm going to take you different places in this world, but the call is the same. Whether you're doing construction, or whether you're trucking, or whether you're working in retail, or wherever you're working in a factory, whatever you're doing, the call is the same. I'm going to place you different places. I'm going to have you building homes some. I'm going to have you melting steel some. But the call is the same. The call is to testify about the Lord. The call is to share the gospel. The call is to live a holy life. Don't worry, because I've given you a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Fan it, Timothy. Fan it, Brandy. Fan it, Kevin. Fan it, Bill. And watch what happens in a body of believers that are fanning the call from a 75-pound to a 1,200-pound gift. I don't want us to continue to live on 75, 80 pounds of gifting. I want to live on 1,200 pounds of gifting. But the responsibility is ours. The Father does all the supplying, but the gift is yours. Will you grow it? Stand with me today. God, we stand and we say, oh, maybe. We started out this day with, here I stand with arms wide open. Father, thank you for that gifting that you've given us. I told Timothy, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed to testify about the Lord. I know you're going to be afraid at times, but God did not give you the spirit of fear. He gave you one of power, love, and self-discipline. I'm going to put you places where people need to hear the story about Jesus. Don't be afraid. I've given you power, love, and self-discipline. I know there's going to be a time in your life when I'm going to call you to the holy living, and you're going to need to let go of some stuff in your life, and you're going to start something in your life, and I know you don't think you can do that or let go of that in your life. But you can, because I've given you power, love, and self-discipline. I know you're looking at a 75-pound gift. But the potential in that living gift is endless. So Father, I pray that we would be men and women. You would find us with bellows in our lives. And we would be fanning this gift into flames. And you would find a man and a woman, men and women in this congregation that would not be afraid to testify, that would not be afraid to share the gospel, that would not be afraid to be holy, to live a holy life, even if it's completely against what this world would think of us. Father, thank you for salvation. Thank you for this calling. And thank you for the Spirit to be able to live out the call that you put in our life. And in Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.